something today I thought very appropriate. In light of yesterday in the state of Kentucky, our subject today is going to be depression. Considering all that went on in the football world in the state of Kentucky, I thought, what else would be more appropriate? Now,
who's depressed?
Well, hold on.
Kentucky covered the spread.
Larry?
Yes.
Don't put any of this on the internet. I want people to know we're a loving congregation. We would not let football or basketball stand in the way of the love and the grace of the Amen.
You realize I have all this on film?
You what?
You realize I've got all this on tape.
I know, but you can edit it, so I'm
going to Oh, I'm going to tell her to watch it.
Okay. Sometimes I get a little goofy sometimes, but I really won't get dead serious before I get into the subject. Understand, and as I have gotten into this series, we're getting as many people watching this series now as when I do Revelation. Because this touches people's lives and the core of their lives to the nth degree of life. Depression, folks, is something that everyone in this room has experienced. And I'm talking from little ones to old ones. Everybody, at some point in time in your life, is going to deal with this subject. Now, how you deal with it, or the lack of dealing with it, can define you for the rest of your life. Now, understand, this author, if you've studied up any on him at all, is a psychiatrist and a Christian psychiatrist. He also graduated from Southern Seminary here in Louisville. And believe me, this guy's going to look at this from a clinical point of view, and then he's going to look at it from a Christian point of view. But I promise you, follow along with me on this. This is life-changing. This is serious business in people's lives. People can get so depressed that they end their lives. This is how serious, folks, this is in this country and around the world. Let's look at it. Let's deal with it head on, because this is something that is life-changing. Remember, I read the introduction to you every time. Thoughts are things, powerful things. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or hold us back. Prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. The subject is called depression. Are you ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. It has been said, and with good reason, that depression is the common cold of mental illness. This guy's going to approach this, first of all, from a clinical standpoint of view, okay? He's going to talk a little bit about the mind and understand that going into this. Why? Because depression is common. Depression is common. In the world we live in today, it's common for you to be depressed. Now, that ought to be a shame, but it's common today. But make no mistake, depression is a serious condition that, if untreated, listen closely, can take a terrible toll on individuals and families alike. When you're depressed, it's going to affect everybody around you. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The sadness that accompanies any significant loss is an inescapable fact of life. We are going to deal with loss on many different levels as long as we live in life. Lost love, lost friendship, lost life. We're going to have to deal with it. Because we live in a world where nobody's perfect. And if the Lord don't come in our lifetime, it's going to die. That's just the facts of life. Everybody understand that? Say amen. Throughout our lives, all of us must endure the kinds of deep, personal. Loss is personal. You take it personal. You live it personal. When you lose something, it's personal. That leaves us struggling to find hope. But in time, we move beyond our grief as the sadness runs its course and gradually fades. You're going to have to deal with it. But if you're strong enough, have a good support system, you can get through it with the help of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. If you find yourself feeling blue, depressed, perhaps it's a logical reaction to the ups and downs of daily life. Up, down, up, down, up, down. That's what we deal with. Okay? You don't have a clue what you're going to face tomorrow, do you? You don't have a clue. It may be the greatest day you've had in weeks. It could be the worst day you've had in weeks. You don't know. Understand that. Depression is not a disease to be taken lightly. Left untreated, it presents real dangers to patients, physical health, and to their emotional well-being. You know that to be the truth, folks. If you don't deal with it, it will destroy you. What do you think? Is that true? If you don't deal with it, folks, it will destroy you and destroy the people around you. Here are a few simple guidelines to consider as you make decisions about possible medical treatment. Number one, if you have persistent urges towards self-destruction behavior, or if feel as though you have lost the will to live, consult a professional counselor, physician, or pastor. Sometimes, folks, we cannot do this alone. It's when you feel alone that people take their life. You can get help. Just admit that you need some help and seek out the right people to help you. Sometimes, folks, we have to admit we need help. Understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, if someone you trust urges you to seek counseling, schedule a session with a professional trained counselor to evaluate your condition. If someone comes up to you and says to you, you don't look good, they know you personally, they know you're not acting right, they know that something is wrong with you. You might want to take some advice sometimes from someone who really seems to know you well. As long as that advice is to seek help. All kinds of different ways to seek it. But you've got to be the one to do it. No one can force you to seek help. You have to be motivated on your own. Other people will try. Other people will even be willing to drive you there. You've got to be willing to seek the help. Because people who don't, their lives will change forever. I promise you that. Number three, if you experience persistent and prolonged changes in sleep patterns, or if you experience a significant change in weight, either gain or loss, consult your physician. Some people who are depressed, some will never go to a refrigerator, and some will live at a refrigerator. That's true. Sometimes food becomes your best friend, or it can become your worst enemy. But see, these are patterns. that are not what we would consider to be normal. We have to understand, folks, when we have set patterns, there's a reason why we do what we do. Number four, if you are plagued with consistent, prolonged, severe feelings of hopelessness, consult a physician, professional counselor, or your pastor. It's all about, folks, making decisions and going to whomever you feel like can help you. Now, people have come to me over almost 40 years. In some ways, it's comical, and yet it's not. I used to really take it as a compliment that someone would come to me and say, "Will you help me, Pastor?" Then I found out that the reason they come to the pastor is because the pastor is free. Now, I don't say that to be condescending. I think it's great that you seek out your pastor. But let me tell you something. I've been in meetings across this land. When I went through seminary studies, they always said the same thing. They said, "Preachers, be careful. You are not God. You have issues just like anybody else that comes to you." So understand this fact. If I can help you, the main thing I'm going to do for you is two things. I'm going to listen with a little advice. If you ask me, I'll tell you. And then I'm going to pray with you. And if those two things will help you listen and to pray, I'm the person. I am not a licensed therapist. I'm not a psychiatrist, and nor can I administer medication. And sometimes medication is what's needed in this disease. But I promise you, if you call me, I'll stay as long as I need to make sure that when you leave my presence, you know there's somebody that cared for you. The Lord help the Father. Some days are light and heavy. Some days are not. In familiar words of John chapter 10, verse 10. Okay, Larry, let's put our first verse up. Won't you look at this? Jesus says, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal, kill, and destroy." You take the first part of that. Satan loves depression. He loves it. He loves to give you things that make your heart so messed up that you can't hardly get up out of bed. You're so depressed. That steals. You know, a day that you can't function is a day that you've lost forever. You realize that? You've lost it forever. You don't get no more yesterdays. But if you do the right thing, there may be some tomorrows ahead of you. Look what Jesus said. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Satan wants you depressed. Satan wants you thinking of nothing but yourself. He wants you to be thinking about everything that's bad in your life. Jesus says, "I've come to change that. Because I can help you." And when you start thinking about all of the things that's ahead of you because I died for you, and that you're part of the family of God, no matter what you're dealing with today, I promise you, if you call upon me, if you come to me, I will help you through it, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I want you to live, and I want you to live abundantly. Abundantly means it's shown on how I act, how I live. That I tell other people, it's not all about me being on dialysis. I got heart issues, I got weight issues, I got foot issues. When I talk to people, I don't tell them none of that nonsense. Only reason I'm telling you is because y'all know it. And I don't tell anybody that. I just want them to see me as just a person who loves the Lord. They don't don't need to be going about what all's wrong with me. Then they'll just get depressed. Because I don't, that ain't about me. That's not what defines me. What defines me is Jesus. What defines me is Jesus. What defines me is Jesus. Give Jesus a hand of applause. All right, let's go to the next piece of scripture. John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus speaking again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Joy is how I live. Doesn't mean everything in my life is perfect. Doesn't mean everybody around me is perfect. But doesn't mean I don't have some issues. I got issues. You got issues. We all got issues. Well, here's why I'm going to think about it. Because I got Jesus. You got Jesus. We all got Jesus. Now, we can either concentrate on the issues or we can talk about Jesus. You understand that? I understand that different folks, different family situations, different people, how they deal with work, life, family, illness, finances, all that can bring you down, depress you. But I concentrate on this one thing. When I leave this world, I ain't taking nothing with me except whatever clothes they choose to put on me, view me in the casket. I'm not taking nothing with me. Whether I'm broke, fine. If I got money, fine. If I got a nice car, fine. If I got no car, fine. I mean, I'm never taking none of it going with me anyway. It's I don't want to take none of it with me. It's not about what you've got or what you don't got. It's what's in your heart. Okay? Understand that. It's what you've got. He says, I want to make your joy full. It's according to how you concentrate, what you think on, how you deal. You want an empty life? You want a full life? See, an empty car is pretty useless. You can take a $100,000 car, if it don't have no gas in it, it's as useless as a $100 Ford. Or a $100 Chevrolet. Because they both take gas. I don't care if you got a Mercedes or you got a new Chevrolet. You take gas out of them, they're both useless. Is that true? I don't care whether you got money or you don't. I don't care what kind of life you've got. You got to have some gas in your soul. And that's Jesus. You got to have it. If not, you're not going to go. You're not going to start. You're not going to get up. You're not going to go without Jesus. Give a little hand of applause. These two passages makes it clear. Our Savior intends that we experience life of joyful abundance through Him. Our duty as grateful believers is to do everything we can to receive the joy and abundance that can be ours in Christ. And the term everything includes even medical treatment if necessary. I don't condemn people because they go to a doctor. Go to a psychiatrist. I don't condemn people for that. The medical field is what it is. Sometimes you have to do that. Don't put somebody down because they have to go see somebody or they have to go see a therapist. That's none of your business. Don't act holier than thou. Don't act like it, you know, oh, well, I'd never say that. You know, hogwash. Don't walk in somebody else's shoes because you don't know how to walk in somebody else's shoes. Instead of making fun of somebody or condemning somebody, how about praying for somebody? Why don't you try that, church? Let's see how that goes. How's that work for you? Huh? What do you think? Give the Lord a hand of applause. When we face dark days of life, we must choose how we respond. Will we allow ourselves to sink even more deeply into our sadness, or will we do the difficult work of pulling ourselves out? We bring light to the dark days of life by turning first to God. If you're in the darkness, I promise you, turn to God. Be serious about that. Open His Word. Talk to Him. You'd be surprised how the light will come. come in to your world. When light to this dark days of running first to God and then to trust family members, friends, and in some cases, medical professionals. When we do, the clouds will eventually part and the sun will shine once more on our souls. Let's look at the last piece of scripture. Fear thou not, Isaiah says, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That is a promise. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Don't be depressed, for I am thy God. I will give you strength. Call upon me. Look to me. Read my word. Yea, I will help thee. It doesn't say, you know, I might. You know, if I'm in a good mood, I might help you. That's not what that says. It says, I will help you. And I will hold thee. When you think you are falling into your last gutter, he'll pick you up, hold you up, if you look to him. Understand that. The right hand of my righteousness. Give the Lord one more hand of applause. I want to close with this quote. Some of the best depression blockers are. Depression blockers are. A strong will to live. Determination. And a sense of. I know our children have come in. Everybody focus on me here. Let me say this one more time. Some of the best depression blockers are a strong will to live, determination, and a sense of purpose. Really, what is your purpose? Do you know what that is? What is your purpose in life? Number one, if you are a child of God, you are a Christian, and your purpose is to do the best you can to have the best relationship with God that you know how. You do it in three ways. You pray daily, you come to His church, and you read His Word. And I promise you, no matter what you're dealing with in life, that is the answer. Find good people that you love and respect. Talk to people. Talk to people you trust. The worst thing on the planet is to talk to someone about what's proud in your life and they turn around and tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Don't do that. If you don't trust them, don't talk to them. If you trust them, talk to them. I don't care if that's a pastor, I don't care if that's a doctor, I don't care if it's a therapist. Because when you trust them, then you open your heart. This is a disease, folks, that people can get rid of. It's a disease that people can learn to deal with. And if you know anybody that's not here and has dealt with this disease, please tell them to go online and listen to this. Watch this. Understand, God is your friend. God loves you. Jesus is the great physician. He will take care of you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Father, it is my prayer today. Thank you for this church and this wonderful group of people. Father, I pray for those who are here to understand, folks. Depression is something that everybody deals with. No one is, Father, resistant to that. But Father, just as soon as we find ourselves in that emotional trap, Father, you have a way of pulling us out as long as we look to you. May we do that today. Maybe someone needs a quiet time on this altar today. We invite you to come. Maybe you need me to pray with you. I would love to do that. But most of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what you need today. I promise you, that is the greatest thing that you need in your life today is Jesus. To those watching my internet, if you don't have a good church home, you need to find you a good church home that's preaching Jesus, that's teaching Jesus. That'll help you more than anything in life. Get in church. Get in church. Get ready. Jesus is coming. Father, again, bless this time. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?